Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday, June 28, 2015. This is episode 52 of the Hockey Guys Podcast. Here's truly Hunter Crowther with my co-host Chris Shannon. Today, we're going to be joined by Bruins blogger Mitch Cole, who you can follow on Twitter at DirtyWaterBuzz, the best Twitter name out there. Today, though, we're going to be talking a lot about the draft from this weekend. A lot of trades went down, a lot of big moves. That's why we've brought in Mitch, who I believe is on the line right now. Mitch, hey, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on, guys?
Right on.
What's up?
Good to hear. So as I've told our audience, we'll be discussing the Dougie Hamilton trade, the Milan Lucic trade. And over the course of the show, we'll get into the Ryan O'Reilly deal, which, hey, good for Buffalo. James Wisniewski going to Carolina, Cam Talbot going to Edmonton, and obviously the McDavids, the Eichels. We'll get into all of it. First of all,
hey,
how was your weekend,
boys? Don't forget the fact that Chris Pronger went to Arizona. That's a huge get
for
them.
Oh, my. That's the most shocking of any of the trades.
I agree.
That. Oh, my goodness. Oh, goodness gracious. All right, so we're going to start off right now. Let's start with the Dougie Hamilton deal, as the Bruins traded him to Calgary for a first and 2 second-round picks. I was honestly shocked that it got to that point. I would have assumed that even though it seemed like between a rock and a hard place, I would have thought that maybe some sort of bridge deal would get worked out, something similar to P.K. Subban. But apparently Boston wasn't comfortable with that, and Hamilton wanted something long-term, and they weren't able to come to it. And now Dougie Hamilton finds himself on a Calgary Flames lineup that has a lot of young, promising defensemen. Mitch, I'll get your thoughts, and then, Chris, you can jump in right after. What are your initial reaction to Dougie Hamilton going to Calgary?
Horrendous. I honestly, the deal is one of the worst I've ever seen a Boston team pull off. It's as bad as the Joel Thornton trade and the Tyler Seguin trade. I mean, I just don't understand it. How not even the fact that they traded him in the first place. They couldn't get more value for him other than a first and 2 seconds. I mean, an offer sheet would have gotten more picks than that and better picks than that. And they were asking for more from other teams. They asked Edmonton for even more than that. They were hung up with Edmonton on the fact that they wanted Darnell Nurse and the Oilers didn't want to give him up. I mean, it just blows my mind as to how you can have a young, promising defenseman like Hamilton, and just it harkens back to the days of Harry Sinden. Instead of, you know, negotiating when you don't come to an initial agreement, instead of negotiating, you just send them on their way packing.
And I mean, I totally agree with Mitch here. I mean, when I saw that trade, I couldn't believe it. You build a team around a defenseman like Dougie Hamilton. I mean, Dougie Hamilton, since he was drafted by the Boston Bruins, has been the guy that, hey, he's been the next to Dano Chara, maybe not in the way he plays, but with the way that he'll be a champion. He'll be one of the best defensemen in the league. He was supposed to take Chara's reins off of the Boston Bruins. And, like, what bothers me the most after I see that, and I mean, I'm a Habs fan and I'm still kind of confused with this whole trade, is that Don Sweeney, after the moves that he made, says, yeah, I still think we're a playoff contender. I mean, you're not a playoff contender. Like, are you going to go after Patrick Sharp and Beleski? Like Beleski, he scored, I think he had 33 points. Yes, he's a great player, and he's a great role player. He's not going to be your first-line guy. Milan Lucic, I'd take over Beleski, even with that contract. I mean, I'm a fan of Beleski. I'm not trying to take this guy down, but really, I don't understand what Boston did. I think the Lucic trade, hey, I mean, you got as much as you could get from him. Not surprised you got traded. All right. I mean, great for them. I'll miss it because I'll miss the Lucic versus Habs rivalry. But as a Bruins fan right now, I am really worried with where this team is going, because I don't even know. Are they retooling? Are they rebranding? Are they, like, just trying to change this whole thing up? I mean, this is not a rebuild, because you just lost your main rebuilding piece.
Very confusing. I still don't understand. Like, I'm just trying to fathom it even the day after. And like you said, Mitch, that's the thing that bugs me the most, is that even though they negotiated and he was an RFA and there's rumors that he might get offer-sheeted, like you said, they would have gotten better draft picks if he got offer-sheeted and then they let him go wherever they wanted to. They could have somehow worked something different, but I think they were in – it's this typical NHL general manager mindset where you almost panic as the draft starts to come up, and before you know it, you're like, we haven't signed this kid yet, and we don't really know what's going on. So instead of, and it's always this, instead of letting this become a distraction, let's just cut ties immediately and get rid of him. And before you know it, you've made this trade for what, a first and 2 seconds. First of all, less than 40% of second-round picks play more than like 300 games in the NHL, so way to go. And that first-round pick is a part of three straight first-round picks they had that a lot of those picks, like me and Chris were talking before the show, some of those guys are completely off the board. Some of those guys weren't expected to go in the top 15, top 20. So a sort of perplexing weekend for the Boston Bruins. Both of you, what are your final thoughts on this Dougie Hamilton situation?
Yes, I'll let you go first. I want to hear the Habs fan perspective on this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's just say this. If I was a Bruins fan, I would be freaking out. You know, I have trouble with Michel Therrien as a coach. Don Sweeney, you just ruined that team. And who knows? You know, I'm saying this right now because that's what it looks like right now. Maybe this guy has a mastermind plan. Is he going to get PK Subban? Because I think that's the only way he can fix it. I mean, Dougie Hamilton is going to be an amazing defenseman. We know that. Like, he had glimpses of that. I'm a Habs fan. I watched the Bruins. He was a great defenseman, all right? And I understand people are saying, oh, well, he was great because he played Zdeno Chara. Have you watched Zdeno Chara last year? The guy, I mean, his game has changed in the last 2 years, right? Mitchell,
yeah,
Crosby, man, your Bruins are done. Like, they're not making the playoffs. I don't know what they do. I know they're going to go after a free agent. They're going to go after Bolesky. I can't wait until Bolesky joins the Bruins. Go Habs, go.
You know, DJ Bean from WEEI said that the Bruins only have mild interest in Bolesky, so I'm kind of holding out hope that he's right about mild interest and that there's other teams that have more interest in it, because I really do not want to see them try to fit Bolesky on top line with David Krejci and David Pastrnak, because that would be ugly. Matt Bolesky has never played, average more than 14 minutes a game in an entire season. It would just make no sense. And, you know, to your point about Dougie Hamilton being good because of Zdeno Chara, his Corsi percentage actually this year was better away from Chara than it was with him. I mean, it's – and, you know, you can – you know, people say all they want about the analytics and everything, but, you know, if possession stuff works, it's good. It's a great evaluating tool. And when you see that a 22-year-old is – you know, has amazing possession numbers with Zdeno Chara and is even better without him. It just speaks to the fact that, you know, you clearly have a rising superstar in your hands, and I just don't understand why they would panic and trade him. And, you know, I've seen a lot of journalists out there and writers saying, you know, Don Sweeney showed that he has at least cojones. I mean, you can make that case and then he traded a 22-year-old defenseman like that. But I would have probably given him more props if he had dared other GMs and said, you know, hey, can you give him an offer sheet? Go ahead, see what happens. I'll match it. I would have much rather see him see a big stare down throughout the summer and see what happened there.
A great point.
I couldn't agree more on that. Challenge other teams to RFA. Because if the league really, like, me and Chris have talked about this on other shows where it's this old boys club of guys who don't want to screw each other, and they don't want to, well, if you try to screw me on an RFA, I'm going to screw you on an RFA, and it's, which almost seems silly. I mean, if it's in the CBA, then do it. But I, like you said, I don't even understand why they wouldn't have, because they had all the power. Dougie Hamilton has no say. What's he going to do, hold out? He's not Drew Doughty, who can skip training camp. I mean, at some point, you had to, if you were going to go to arbitration, you probably wouldn't have even had to have paid him nearly what he would have asked for. So it really baffles me that Boston was willing to make this move. But you know what? Looking at it at the other side, great deal for Calgary. Honestly, they get a potential stud defense person to add with Mark Giordano, who has evolved into arguably one of the best D in the league. TJ Brody, who's just loving life with him. And even got, like, Dennis Wiedemann, who now you can slot a little lower, give Dougie Hamilton that responsibility. And all of a sudden, the Calgary Flames, who last year we thought were a running joke, all of a sudden they're going to be one of the top teams in the league next year or have a chance to really compete in the Western Conference. And with the evolution of Monahan and Goudreau, and you can go down that list, Calgary's got some good things going. Their possession numbers weren't the best, and they sort of lucked their way into the playoffs, and they had the perfect first-round matchup against Vancouver. But you know what? They're looking stronger, and you got to give them credit. This is a hell of a move on their behalf. Let's look at the other Boston Bruins trade. Milan Lucic heading to the Los Angeles Kings for, which I thought was actually a decent return, a first. Martin Jones, who's a more than capable backup goaltender, and D. Colin Miller. Again, Mitch, your thoughts on Lucic going to Los Angeles?
Well, it's about time that he's gone. I've been waiting for this day for a couple of years now, and it has finally come. I cannot tell you how thrilled I was to see Lucic finally gone. His play is declining. He doesn't play the way the game should be played anymore, and not the whole respect thing and everything. I mean, the game is completely changed, and he's not the kind of forward that you build a team around anymore, and he's not the kind of guy that would be getting $7-8 million a year going forward in the future. And that's apparently what I think that's what he was going to be asking for, too. I've heard, you know, rumors that he was going to ask if he was going to already told the Bruins that he was going to look for somewhere around $7.5 million a year. And I saw today that he wanted an eight-year term. Why in God's name would you ever give Milan Lucic 8 years on a contract? Can either of you tell me that?
Chris, your thoughts.
But, I mean, no, and that's the whole point. Like, but Milan Lucic's a great player, okay? He was a great player. But the way this game is played now, the way he has played last year, you can see he's declining. And, yeah, I think, what is he, 27? You think of that and you say he's a young guy. But the way he plays, and, yeah, he doesn't have the legs, but he hits and he scored goals. He's gone in front of that. He went to the dirty places. This is like 5 years ago. Like 5 years ago now, and we're 5 years away from that. And look at him. You saw last year how he played. He played like he was 40 years old. The game is too fast for guys like this. And this is what makes Ryan Getzlaf so dominant, is that he's a big, hard guy that can skate. And that's what's so great about that guy. And that's what Milan Lucic doesn't have. Now, I do think Lucic will fit well with the Kings. I mean, imagine like Dustin Brown, Anze Kopitar, Milan Lucic. I mean, they're going to absolutely destroy you physically, and they'll have the speed to get by you as well. I mean, I like that trade for LA, actually. I think he'll fit well with that team. I mean, Martin Jones, you know, we'll see. This is what I wonder as well, and Mitch, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. Do you think there's another deal coming by? I mean, you've got Malcolm Subban, you've got Martin Jones. I know there's a couple other two prospects they have in the system. Do you think there's going to be a trade with goaltenders?
There's got to be. I mean, you have Ras Control to the NHL level. You have Malcolm Subban and Zane McIntyre, who they just signed out of the NCAA, down in the AHL in Providence. And they just drafted a goalie this past weekend. So that's five goalies now in the system. And it's just mind-boggling if they don't make a deal, if they don't trade away. I mean, there was talk that I think John Shannon of Sportsnet dropped this over the weekend, that he heard Tuukka's name being dropped all on the draft floor. I saw either today or yesterday that, you know, Sweeney mixed a lot of those calls and said, you know, not available, not going to happen. So I can't imagine Tuukka Rask would go. But if you don't flip Jones for something, or you don't have Malcolm Subban going anywhere, or, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me as to why you would ask for a backup goalie in return when you could go out and sign a very serviceable guy for cheap. It doesn't have to be Martin Jones. It doesn't have to be a young guy. It can be a veteran who can spell Rask for a few games here and there. I liked the first-round pick up until the fact that they ended up wasting one of those three first-round picks they had, or should I say two of those first-round picks they had, on guys that should have gone in the second round. They left Barzal and Kyle Connor both on the board three times. And that just makes no sense to me. I was a huge Matt Barzal fan going into the draft, and I saw a lot of reports and mock drafts saying that he was going to go in the top 10, and I was just hoping and praying that Barzal would fall the Bruins at 15 or 14, and he did, and they just left him there. I mean, I didn't mind the Zboril pick at all, But when they ended up taking Jake DeBrusk and Zach Senishin, it just didn't make any sense to me. When I looked at the rankings, and I saw them that they both could have had them in the second round. And then in the second round, they did the same thing. I can't remember the name of the prospect that was still on the board. He was a projected first-rounder, guy who was highly valued for his skill, and they passed him up for a guy who was bigger and had more size. And that was the biggest reason. And it's mind-blowing to me that size is something that's still so valued over the fact that, hey, this guy can actually play in this Bruins system. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
A lot of good points. And, overall, just an interesting weekend from Boston. They make those two deals. They make some interesting draft picks, but, I didn't expect us to spend the first 15 minutes talking about the Bruins, but, hey, that's what happens on the hockey game.
I believe I think it was Senishin that I believe it was Scott Bradley of the Bruins saying, or might have been Don Sweeney saying that he gave the Bruins scouts a twinkle in their eye, and that's one of the biggest reasons they took him in the first round, that even is supposed to mean.
I saw that, and that was a little weird. I agree, but I mean, there's a lot of other news in the draft this year. Everyone was kind of like amped up for this draft. I thought it was a good draft. I thought we saw a lot of moves, and people, I don't think people, especially Habs fans, they always want that big move to happen. But I thought we saw a lot happen this year. The goalie market, I mean, Bob Murray, he just stole the goalie market. That Lehner trade, I mean, it's going to go down as a huge trade because you look at what Cam Talbot did. I mean, that guy, he stayed there. I mean, he should have. This is the problem with the draft. People wait too long. They think, all right, wait, we're going to get a better value at the draft. We can wait a while. And they waited too long, and that's what Sather did. And really, he gave Cam Talbot up for something that was pretty bad compared to that. He had a first-round pick, and I think a second-round pick. Like, he had some better offers. Interesting. Yeah, and the Eddie Lack in Carolina, I like that trade. I think that will go well there. But, yeah, the goalie market was an interesting one this year, and I think we'll still see some things go off. I mean, I wonder, Hunter, what's going to happen with that Leafs goalie situation? Do you think Bernier stays? I mean, I know there was this whole arbitration and everyone's talking about that. And I think that's interesting. Like, what does Toronto do here with the goaltending? I mean, they say they're going to be going with this young star team. They're going to go young. They're going to try. They know they won't be making the playoff team. Bernier is 27. He's in his prime. Like, he's in the start of his prime. Maybe it's the time to trade him now. I mean, why? You're not going to be making the playoffs. Why have a great goaltender like this? Yeah, I guess Hunter's sleeping right now because that's some big news. But what do you think, Mitch? I mean, that is like, as a Bruins fan, what do you think about that?
I don't really know what they're going to do or why they're doing it. All I can say about the Leafs right now is, while I don't really know where they're going with the goalie situation, I can tell you that if I were a Leafs fan, I would put full faith in right now in Kyle Dubas and Mark Hunter, because those are two absolute young stars in this industry.
That is so true. I mean, the Leafs, one of the Habs rivalries, or two rivalries of the Habs, have done some crazy things this week. The Bruins, they are declining and the Leafs are going up. I love that Marner pick. I think Marner's going to do really well in the NHL. I know everyone's talking about the size of him, and I still can't believe we're talking about size of players when we just saw Tyler Johnson and Patrick Kane dominate the playoffs. I think Mitch Marner's going to be great. I saw a couple of scouts say that he may be better than Eichel. Now, I doubt that's true, but Mitch Marner's going to be great. Yeah, I mean, the draft, I think, is crazy, especially on Twitter. I mean, this is all social media, and the crazy rumors come out, but we see some crazy things, and I love it. I love going on Twitter and seeing all these crazy rumors. I saw Montreal Canadiens are thinking about trading Carey Price. There's still Habs fans that want Price traded. Yeah, I think that's, you equate that to maybe Dougie Hamilton being traded, and that actually happened. So I don't know. Mitch, this must be really hard. I mean, like, what would you do now as a general manager? Let's say you're in the steps of the general manager. Sweeney's fired. You're in there. What do you do?
I honestly don't know how you can fix it in the immediate future, because you just gave up a building block of a defenseman. Now, granted, you got back Colin Miller. Now, I've heard that he projects as a bottom-pairing defenseman, but I've also heard he's more of a guy who's a lot like Torrey Krug, but more of a guy who projects as a top, as a second pairing defenseman more than Krug is. So I kind of like that. I like that acquisition. But then they trade away Hamilton, and then they throw freaking stupid money and years at Adam McQuaid over God knows what reasons. I mean, the guy has been on and off the ice for his entire career, and he failed a top four role this year, and he's always been a bottom pairing depth defenseman. Just why you would commit that kind of money in term to a player like that, I don't know. And I just, I just don't know where you can take this team in the immediate future other than, you know, kind of wait out the bad contracts and take it from there.
Yeah, Hunter's awake now. Finally, he woke up. Hunter, we were talking about your Leafs, and yeah, I know. I guess you fell asleep and we talked about your Leafs. And I was saying to Mitch, I mean, this may be the first time that someone else other than Hunter has a worse team on the podcast. I mean, the Bruins are going that direction. And we were talking about how Mitch Marner is actually, we think, will do well in the NHL, and that people are still downgrading him because of his size.
Well, wasn't it such a great draft for the Toronto Maple Leafs? Like, oh my goodness!
Amazing.
Like, was it not? Like, just watching that draft by each pick that unfolded. I mean, let's start off with Mitch Marner. I love Mitch Marner. I had the pleasure of watching Mitch Marner over the past few years with the Toronto Maple Leafs. That guy was able to do things with the puck that I've never seen a guy do before. I've never seen, since the last time, the last player I've seen that's that dynamic in a London Knights jersey was Patrick Kane, the year before he went to the NHL. Like, honestly, this was an incredible, like, these were some great picks on their behalf. Dermott, who's a defenseman, who I thought was a steal for them. I mean, like, the big thing that really stood out to me was how many players they took that were, A, under 180 pounds, B, under 6 feet tall, or C, just had great numbers in junior and somehow dropped during the draft because they either, quote-unquote, had character issues or it was a size factor. And which, trust me, like, we could talk about the idea of character issues, as I'm sure Dougie Hamilton's been taking a beating.
Oh, God, don't even get me started on the Dougie Hamilton smear campaign going on right now.
Yeah, and, I mean, that's another thing. I mean, the Dougie Hamilton, I mean, the Boston writers, they all went after Dougie Hamilton, saying that he's this guy that, I mean, just a whole bunch of rumors out there that just no one ever heard before, that he's a bad teammate, players don't like playing with him. How is that true? I mean, is this just Boston media being Boston media? I mean, you know, there's some sketchy guys out there, but what do you think about that? I mean, do you actually believe that he was that bad of a teammate that they portrayed him to be?
No. The only real stuff I heard that was bad came from Stephen Harris of, I believe, the Boston Herald. And I don't want to crush the guy because I heard he does some pretty good work, but he attributed that the quote of him being kind of uppity and a loner and a kind of a bad teammate, I guess. Maybe not that those exact words, but uppity and loner were definitely used. He attributed that to an anonymous NHL assistant GM, to which I don't really know how anyone outside of the Bruins organization can get any sense of how a young player fits into a locker room like that. That does not make any sense to me. So personally, I think that anonymous NHL assistant GM may well be an anonymous Bruins assistant GM. Obviously, I don't know that for sure, but that's just my best guess. And all the stuff I've seen from guys like even Haggerty and Kevin Paul DuPont, two of the guys who just hopped right on the Tyler Seguin smear campaign bandwagon immediately after he was shipped out to Dallas. They have defended him and said, you know, if this kid really had so many issues, why did they come out and say he was a building block and a future number one defenseman? Why was this never talked about during the season or ever before? It doesn't make any sense to me. And I've heard that he was kind of shy and he was a bit of a loner, but he wasn't the most popular guy. But, you know, I mean, if you're 22 years old and you're in an NHL locker room full of, like, veterans of guys who are in their late 20s, their range to early 30s to mid-30s, even late 30s, I mean, you're going to be kind of, you know, shy on your own, not really sure who to hang out with, what to do. So I can kind of see, like, the whole kind of hanging by himself thing and not being the most popular guy in the room because of that. Because if the guy keeps himself, you're not going to like, you're not going to really know much about him. So I could absolutely see that and really not being an issue, just being the case. But I just find it insanely far-fetched to believe that he was uppity and a loner and that this led to the trade. And this is the reason for the trade. I think it's just more of the, hey, you know, we've traded a really good player. People are backlashing at us. Let's find a reason to make people think that, hey, this is a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, Tim Thomas was kind of a loner, and that worked out for Boston. So, whatever. That whole
at
idea.
Least for a couple of years.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for a couple of years. Now he's in some hut in Minnesota. Who knows?
I think he's in a bunker in Colorado.
Oh, thank God. All right, so we've spent about 25 minutes talking about the Bruins, but let's try to spend the last 5 minutes. There's two things I want to touch up on before we have to head out. The first thing is the Buffalo Sabres acquire Ryan O'Reilly and Jamie McGinn for Nikita Zadorov, Mikhail Gigarenko, JT Compher, and a second-round pick. And then the second thing I want to touch up on is the LA Kings putting Mike Richards on waivers and then with the plan to buy him out. I'll let you two decide which one do you want to talk about, Mike Richards or Ryan O'Reilly?
I say Ryan O'Reilly. I think that's a big trade.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'll touch on Mike Richards too, but definitely Ryan O'Reilly.
We're going to put Mike Richards in the minors, as he will be next year. Let's talk about Ryan O'Reilly. All right. So the Buffalo Sabres acquire him. They've had a ton of cap space, and the rumor out there was that Riley wanted a long-term deal worth $6, $7 million a year. And I figure for a kid who's 23 or 24 years old, that's when you want to sign him to a long-term deal, not when he's 28 or almost 30 years old and he's already on the decline of his career. I think he's an incredibly young player, very dynamic, and an excellent defensive forward. He's honestly Patrice Bergeron before he was Patrice Bergeron. All right, he is such a good player that no one gives credit for. He's tough. He's physical. He deserves the money that eventually Buffalo is going to give him. Chris, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on the Ryan O'Reilly deal, and then Mitch, you can take it over. And be
number
quick,
one
please
center.
Be quick, because we have like 3 minutes left.
Yep. Number one center turns that team into an instant contender. That Buffalo's going to be a team to watch this offseason. You know, hopefully they can get some more defense. But I really do think they'll be a contender for the playoffs. I mean, this is an impressive thing Tim Murray's done.
Yeah, this is Tim Murray is proving to be one hell of a GM. He's basically turned that team from the laughingstock of the NHL to, oh, man, this team could really make some noise next year. I mean, you have Ryan O'Reilly, Sam Reinhart, Jack Eichel, and Zemgus Girgensons up front. And down the middle, I should say. And then, you know, also up front are guys like Evander Kane. And you just look at that and you go, holy crap, that's pretty dynamic. And, you know, giving up a guy like Mikhail Gregorenko, who I don't think he was going to go anywhere in the NHL. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I don't think he's that good of a prospect. He might come up for a few cups of coffee, you know, stick around, bounce around a few teams, but he's not going to be that superstar that everyone thought he was going to be when he was drafted. So, you know, good on Tim Murray for getting some value out of him.
Yeah, I was really surprised that they were able to get such a player like that for a deal like that. And not to mention Jamie McGinn, who, by all accounts, he's no slouch either. Like, that's an extra warm body that they're going to have up front. Not to mention they got David Legwan in the as well in the Robert Leonard trade. You know, I'm not sure about Robin Leonard. I don't know if he's a starting goaltender. I don't know if he was really worth a first-round pick, but, you know, that's the move that Buffalo made. But overall, I thought that they've done a good job, and honestly, you can't – I'm really starting to buy on the Jack Eichel bandwagon more than anything. There's a small part of me – I feel like I'm betraying my Canadian listeners. There's a small part of me that almost wishes Jack Eichel has a better career than Connor McDavid, because I love this kid. He's confident. He's got a little bit of arrogance. He thinks he's – his stuff doesn't smell, but you know what? I like that. But, hey, what more can I ask for? We're almost done here, folks. So, hey, this was a fun show, guys. Thanks for taking over when my computer was being a POS. It's the Hockey Guys Podcast. Here's truly Hunter Crowther. My co-host, Chris Shannon. One of our favorite guests, Mitch Cole. You can follow him at Dirty Water Buzz on Twitter. He's going to have more. We're going to have him on again in the near future. I want to talk more Bruins. We're going to be talking more about it. Anyway, thanks for listening, folks. We're going to be back next week.
Take it easy. Enjoy your life.